good to have you here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verses 21, 22 through 35. If you will turn there, and as you are turning there, you know, there are some things, as I look around, I look at not just, when I say church in general. As I look around and observe the church cultures, or the church culture, you know, a good church culture should provide safety for those who are hurting to speak openly and honestly without fear or judgment. That is what a good church culture should have. That's what people should be willing to do. But do you know, in my lifetime, I have been in a church, I'm not going to say what church, but I've been in a church meeting where someone stood to bare their heart and their soul. And they told what had happened, and there was a hush or a gasp that came across the congregation. Now, wasn't here, so don't worry about that, wasn't here. But it is sad when Christians, when other people do not have the safety for those who are hurting to speak openly and honestly without fear of judgment. That person, how they opened up on that day, I guarantee you they are scarred for life as a result of the gasps that went through that congregation. You know, I often hear, as I just mentioned, many stories of how the culture that is experienced is so very different and opposite of safety and honesty without judgment. A culture that does not provide safety and honesty without judgment is a culture that has forgotten the power of forgiveness. Now, I know we're coming into Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about that. But one of the things that I want to tell you, that it's already been mentioned here before, even in this service, one of the most important thing that I am thankful for is forgiveness. I am John Casey. I am thankful of God's forgiveness of my sins. So as we look at this and we talk about how many church cultures have forgotten the power of forgiveness, I want us to discuss what it means to forgive, how the ability to forgive reveals the depth of a person's spiritual maturity, and the danger of not forgiving. Those three things. We're not going to stay long in here this morning. I want us to enjoy each other's company over there, okay? But as we look, and you're looking there in Matthew, I'll get to that passage of Scripture in just a moment. But there's a secular definition, and many times I like getting the secular definition. The Mayo Clinic states that forgiveness is this. It involves a decision to let go of resentment and thoughts of revenge. Even though the act that hurt or offended you might always be with you, but forgiveness can lessen its grip on you and help free you from the control of the person who harmed you. They go on to say that forgiveness can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurt you. They go on to say forgiveness does not mean forgetting or excusing the harm done to you or making up with the person who caused the harm. Instead, they summarize, forgiveness brings a peace that helps you go on with life. Now that's Mayo Clinic, secular definition of what forgiveness is. Well, I know what you're thinking, Mike, we're not secular. Okay, well let's look at the biblical definition of it. The term forgive in our text this morning in Matthew is pronounced aphiame in the original language. While the term has many usages, its usage here, according to Strong's Concordance, is to let go, to give up a debt, to forgive, to remit, to give up, or to keep no longer. Now, you put all that in a bunch of phrases, and do you see how very similar the Mayo Clinic's definition is to the biblical concept of what it means to forgive? As we look, I want to start in Matthew chapter 18 and share with you, or actually Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus was there, he was praying. You don't have to turn there. I just want you to listen to me. You remember Jesus, he was giving the model prayer there in Matthew chapter 6. What did he say? Pray then in this way. O Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And forgive us our debts
as we also forgive our debtors.
Now remember saying that. How many of you have said that 100
or more times?
Yes.
This is what the model prayer establishes for us.
Forgive us our debts.
It's a conditional clause. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors.
And then if you look on in verses 14 and 15, Matthew chapter 6, you can jot this down in the sermon note area, or you can go to the YouVersion app and it's all there for you. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And then in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, Peter takes up this idea, and this is what he says. Lord,
how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Lord, how many times am I going to let my brother, my sister, sin against me and I still forgive them? You know the response.
Jesus gives and he says 70 times the seven, which is
interpreted or meaning that it is something that we should continually do there.
It's something that we should continually do. So as we look at this and we look at this context, where Peter goes on in verse 21, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? The act of forgiving.
One thing that I always notice in Scripture, in the passage that we're going to read this morning,
the act of forgiving is dependent upon one person.
It's always dependent upon one person and one person only.
The one who has been offended.
That's it. That's where forgiveness and who forgiveness depends upon.
Me.
It depends upon me
and it depends upon you. We, you and I, have alone the power to forgive others. In the context of Matthew 18, 21 and verses 20 through 25, it is apparent. I want to read those verses now. You don't have to stand, but I'm going to read Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35. Jesus is saying, Matthew has recorded Jesus saying, for this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all the land that he had, and repayment to be made. So because this guy has not repaid his Lord is going to take all that he has and sell it in order to recoup the payment. Does everybody understand what's going on here? Look in verse 26 what this person does in the presence of his Lord. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave, that very slave who had received forgiveness from his Lord, that very slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. How are you going to pay something back when you're in prison, Dave? So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Jesus ends this parable by saying, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. As I look at that scripture, it is apparent that full forgiveness
I'm going to talk about two categories of forgiveness here in just a moment. But full forgiveness involves a person who recognizes that he or she has sinned against you or me, and they come and they say what? Please forgive me, for I have wronged you. Many times it is much easier to say to that person who recognizes and is cognizant of what they have done and they are asking forgiveness, many times it is easier to offer forgiveness to those people. Now, this would be in a term of a sense of a full forgiveness because that person is coming and asking for it. But when someone approaches another and acknowledges their sin and desires forgiveness, then forgiveness is to be given freely. It's what Scripture is telling us here. It's to be given freely. There's no conditions there. Now, I know what you're thinking. Hey, Mike, are you telling me that the biblical concept of forgiveness only applies to those people who come and say, I'm sorry, I have wronged you? No, it's not what I'm telling you at all. What I am telling you is that there are different categories of forgiveness, and how a person understands these categories will very much reveal just how spiritually mature they are. Understanding the different categories will reveal just how spiritually mature that person is. So, coming to the end of this, a very good understanding of the biblical concept of forgiveness, according to a marriage and family therapist, Doug Britton, who is also a minister, he says it always includes at the heart level. If you notice there in verse 35, Jesus mentions something about the heart. It has to involve the heart. So he says, Doug Britton, the concept of forgiveness at the heart level always includes an act of choosing not to hold an offense against someone, choosing not to dwell on the offense or rehearse the offense. How many of you now, I know that I'm not going to be the only one here that does this, but how many of you rehearse previous events in your mind? And you're thinking, ooh, I wish I'd have stuck it to them right here. Now, don't tell me that I'm the only one that does that. Huh? You know, some people, you look at them and they're just quick-witted and they're quick on their mind. And, you know, they don't have to think of anything. They can just say something right then. Others of us, like me, I have to sit and think about it for a while. And then in my mind, I'm like, you know, I should have said this. Does anybody else rehearse it?
Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. At the heart, an act of forgiveness is choosing not to hold an offense against someone, choosing not to dwell on that offense, and choosing not to rehearse that offense over and over again, and then choosing not to keep a record. Choosing not to keep a record.
Now, I know what you're going to say. Mike, I can forgive, but it's hard to forget.
I understand. I've been there too. But Scripture tells us
we are to forgive and let that go. That is what the biblical understanding of forgiveness is. It's not holding on to anymore. It is letting it go. And keeping a record of wrongs that have been done to you is not a biblical concept of forgiveness. It just isn't.
So as we look on down in this passage of Scripture, you know, C.S. Lewis is one of my heroes. I mean, he just is. He wrote in Mere Christianity, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he or she has to forgive someone. I think forgiveness is a lovely idea when it's from my Lord to me. But when I have to give it or I have to offer it, then it becomes something where it tests our spiritual maturity and our understanding of Scripture. So as I have said, one category of forgiveness are forgiving those who ask for forgiveness. We've already talked about that. How many of you will forgive someone who asks for your forgiveness? Let me rephrase that. How many of you are much more likely to forgive someone who asks for your forgiveness?
Well, we have to think about it. Thank you for your honesty. Because what we're here is to be open and authentic and understand that none of us are perfect. That we struggle with this human nature which we have been born into, and conforming it into the likeness of Christ.
Now, sometimes I do have a problem with forgiving others, even when they ask for this. Sometimes the hurt excites an anger. The hurt that people have caused me, it excites an anger that promotes an unforgiving spirit, even to those who are asking.
Mike, I'm sorry I've done this to you. So it's just not easy to forgive. It's not that cut and dry, is what I'm saying, even with those who ask forgiveness.
But we are much more likely to forgive those who at least come up and say, hey, I'm sorry I did this to you, Dale. Will you forgive me? Thomas Watson once said, we will have forgiven others when we strive against all thoughts of revenge, when we will not do our enemies mischief, but wish well to them, grieve at their calamities, pray for them, seek reconciliation with them, and show ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them. Now I know what you're thinking. What did you just say? All of it is scriptural. Romans 12:19 tells us that we should resist the temptation to get revenge. There's a lot of R's going on there. Forgive me. Sometimes I'm not good with alliteration. We must resist the temptation to revenge. Romans 12:19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 tells us that we should not return evil for evil. We should not be about that. Luke chapter 6, verse 28 tells us that we are to wish those people who do ill to us, that we are to wish them well. Proverbs 24:17 tells us that we are to even grieve at their calamities. When things happen to those people who have sinned us, we should not sit back over here and say, the Lord finally got, and laugh about their calamity. We should pray for those people. We should pray for them and grieve at their calamities. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 tells us that we should even pray for them. Romans 12:18 tells us that we should seek reconciliation with these people who sin or transgress against us. And then Exodus 23:4 tells us that we should be willing to come
to their relief. How many of you want to go to the relief of someone who has wronged you? So Mike, you're talking about some crazy ideas here in Scripture today, because that's not where I am. It's not who I am naturally. But it is who Jesus wants us to be. And no matter how difficult it is, even though we're more likely to forgive someone who comes and asks for that forgiveness, what about those who never come to us and say, will you forgive me? How much harder is it to forgive those people? It's even harder. It's for me. It's even harder for somebody who does something against me, John Casey, and they don't come and ask forgiveness for it. They laugh and chuckle about it. It makes me angry. It does.
So are we to forgive those people who do not ask for forgiveness? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, as I've already said, Jesus says to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute. Love. Love your enemies. Simon Peter also had something to say about this in 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing.
Get that. Obtain a blessing. Why? Because you do not do evil for evil, but that you bless those people. It is completely not human to do these things. It takes something that is more than human. You bet it does. It takes the indwelling of the Spirit of God within our lives to carry out these words of Jesus.
In such cases, people are called to treat.
When those do something against us and they don't ask for forgiveness, we are to treat them,
the person who is not asking for forgiveness, as if they had never hurt us at all. In other words, these people are to receive grace from us.
So, what do you think about this? Hard words, isn't it? Aren't they? These are hard words.
So, as I come to think of this and look at this passage of Scripture, I came to think that the greatest challenge in the church today is to forgive.
Oh, we say we're all about forgiveness. We say that we're all about reflecting the forgiveness of the Savior. But when it comes down to it and you look at our human nature, forgiveness is not,
it just is not a part of who we are naturally. How a person forgives reveals his or her level of spiritual maturity.
I truly believe that.
If a person is following Jesus, there is only one option when another person transgresses against him or her, whether they ask forgiveness or not. There is only one option, and that option is to forgive.
Hey, Mike,
you don't understand. The answer is to forgive. Are you serious, Mike?
Yes, the answer is to forgive.
Even if the person is, yes, you are to forgive no matter what. Looking in this passage of Scripture in Matthew 18, 22 through 35, which I've already read, this servant, he was forgiven
by his Lord,
but he did not forgive others. The comparison and contrast is right there before us, and it jumps off the pages. And we look and we think, how dare he?
But I dare to tell you that we see ourselves in this passage of Scripture. I dare to say that I see Mike Casey in this passage of Scripture, because many times it is so very difficult for me even to forgive.
This man was not judged.
He stood before his Lord, and his Lord did not judge him.
But this man, in whom no judgment was found, he certainly gave judgment upon others. This man gave what he should have received from his master, but he did. He did not receive that from his master. You know, many, many years ago at Westview Baptist Church, Hugh Price. Anybody know the name Hugh Price? Nobody knows the name Hugh Price. Few people do. He used to play bass guitar at Westview Baptist Church. He would come in, he would stand on this side of the church where Miss Barbara was playing the piano right here. In Westview, he would sit right here, and he would pick that bass guitar, and he would play this song by himself. How you could ever sing a song and just there being a bass guitar? Hugh did it.
I mean, Hugh did it, and it was awesome. The name of the song, I really don't know what the name of the song was, but here is a part of the lyrics.
He paid a debt he did not owe, and I owe a debt I could not pray. I could not pay.
It's that old song. Scotty, you remember hearing Hugh sing that song?
It is so very true. As we come upon Thanksgiving and we look at this and we look at all that we have been forgiven of, that he paid the debt that we owed. And he tells us, you get off scot-free. The quantity and quality of the forgiveness given by people is a reflection of a person's understanding of the forgiveness given to them by God.
That's what I truly believe.
And as I say that, I want to tell you, it makes my spine shiver. It makes me quiver in my shoes to think of that statement. The quantity and the quality of the forgiveness given by people is a reflection of a person's understanding of the forgiveness given to them by God. Only those who realize they are forgiven greatly can forgive. Great. So, I know what you're sitting there thinking. Well, what is the danger of not forgiving? It's right there in the Scripture. The danger of not forgiving is torment.
Whoa, what are you saying, Mike?
God will not forgive the unforgiven. It says it there in Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. How we treat others and how we offer forgiveness is a reflection upon whether we have ever received forgiveness or not. You know, as I enter this time of Thanksgiving, I am always reminded through this story of the magnitude of my thanks. Shane, Don, I'm always reminded as I come to this time of year. Yes, I am thankful for my beautiful wife, for Lauren, for the house that God has allowed me to have, for my family, for the raising that I have, for this church, for my friends, for my job at the school, for my job here at the church. Yes, I am thankful for all of those. But the one thing that stands out more than any other thing in my life, Dale, is the grace of God that has been bestowed upon me. Of that I am most thankful for. I am thankful for the grace of God that even pardons me, Mike Casey. I am thankful for the grace of God that even pardons those who hurt me. I am thankful for the grace of God that even pardons those who were or are my enemies. I am thankful that I am free from the bondage of sin that keeps me from pardon others. You know, my desire,
as is your desire, is to promote a healthy church culture here at Tallapoosa First that provides safety for people to speak honesty and honestly about their struggles. Debbie, you know what I'm talking about. You've had those girls in your classroom in that safe environment spill their heart out to you, as I have had with other friends of mine. We want to have that type of environment where there will be no guests, but we will look at each other and say, I know exactly what that is like. I may not have done the same thing, but I know the disparity and the place where they are. I know the helplessness and the hopelessness that they are feeling, but yet they're not being judged in our presence. They receive nothing but forgiveness. How that can spur on a touch of God and a touch of the Holy Spirit in a group of people that will draw others into this place.